The press serves better than anything else to compare and evaluate all sorts of opinion, both erroneous and objective ones. One of the best methods is to summarize examples of the reminiscences of the good old days. By old, I do not mean the period of our history prior to the rule of Peter the Great, but rather the time preceding the introduction of the judicial reform, which is also frequently referred to as the good old days. The sensational publications by Lubofsky do not offer much material about older cases. It is quite possible they contain no useful information at all, because when they were compiled, none of our Russian contemporaries had thought of seeking standards of justice among the old trial records. They also have not foreseen there may be a need to prove inconsistencies of the investigative process in the pre-reform times. Otherwise, examples included in criminal records would undoubtedly surprise and shock with their originality and unlikelihood. There are quite a lot of such cases among murders of landlords by their serfs, and vice versa, and just as many pertaining to the illegal logging on state land. I recall a case from my early youth that took place in Orel, I believe. It was almost 14 years ago, and the case was about illegal cutting of state forest in Karachevsk or Trubchevsk region. The suspect in this crime, who cost the government treasury a tremendous, in those days, sum, was a local forest ranger by the name of Krasovsky, a very old and pious man, a true gentleman with white hair, always clean-shaven and groomed. I remember him being led from prison with two guards past the so-called governor's garden where I used to play as a boy. Krasovsky walked with his guards very calmly, smiling gently at his acquaintances, and for some reason blessing the children. He lived at the Orel jail for over 10 years and became a true prison native, even a patriarch. The book Little Dorrit just came out at the time, and everyone said Little Dorrit's father, living and ruling the prison, seemed to be copied by Dickens from the Orel prison patriarch Krasovsky. After the precedent set by Krasovsky during his long years in Orel prison, new cases developed, as his own case pertaining to cutting of the forest he was in charge of kept dragging on and on. Entire generations of barristers were brought up on that case. The excerpt for presentation to the Senate was done by the son of the investigator who started the case, and, after all, the case remained unsolved. Who cut down hundreds of acres of state forest, and what happened to the money from its sale, was never discovered. Krasovsky either pretended to be poor, or truly was. No one could tell either way. He never bribed anyone in prison, but sustained himself through money changing, loaning out from a quarter to a ruble at 10% weekly interest. That was why many people wanted to strangle him. Finally, after 12 years in prison, Krasovsky was set free. But he did not wish to leave, saying he had no place to live and nothing to live on. He said he was too used to being in prison, and freedom, so precious to any other living person, meant nothing to him. And so, 40 years ago, everyone in the city of Orel was shocked Krasovsky's obvious crime has never been solved. But that was how it ended. However, let us not be too surprised. Murders of landlords and peasants, as well as deforestation, took place in large areas where there was no oversight and no so-called criminal localization. There were much more incredible cases when, for instance, something happened in a thoroughly guarded house where everything was on the spot, so to speak, but not on the spot enough, for the perpetrator was never found. One such case, interesting not only in legal but also in scientific sense, is offered by the criminal record from Voronezh. I found notes of it among the papers of the late medical council chairman Eugene Ventislavovich Pelikan. Here it is. Chapter 2.